I'm Hillary Hendershot, your host, and this is Profit Boss Radio, episode 86. Profit Boss Radio is your weekly wealth mastermind. Profit Boss is also a community and a movement for women who are ready to take control of their money, break the glass ceiling, and give ourselves permission to finally have enough. Want the secrets of wealth to be yours? This is the place. I'm Hillary Hendershot. I'm a certified financial planner running a leading advisory firm for women, and I'm sharing with you real stories from real life and real women who are making it happen. Forget Wall Street. Let's do this, ladies.
Do you want to increase your wealth by $50,000 in the next 2 years? Of course you do. Just imagine the peace of mind. Imagine the freedom and security. As successful women, we want to see our work translate to living the life we want. The reality is, too many of us feel trapped by our finances. If you struggle to experience true peace of mind when it comes to your finances, if you're an entrepreneur and you feel tied to your business because cash flow is unpredictable, if you want better control of your money, but right now you doubt your ability to handle wealth responsibly, your reality can start to change right now. What if I could show you how to begin experiencing sustainable growth in your financial life in the next 7 months? Imagine being informed, confident, and in total control of your finances through a proven financial automation system. Imagine creating financial security and growing your net worth. If you're ready to ignite your wealth-building future, you may be a candidate for my 50K Wealth Multiplier Experience. I'm opening a cohort of this program in January of 2018, and the opportunity is only open to a select group of applicants. If I take you on, it's because I believe I can show you how to create a $50,000 difference in your net worth in 24 months' time. I'm going to ask you to work, though. This program has a community element, so I'll ask you to meet with me and the other women in your cohort in San Jose, California, 3 times over the 7-month program. You get 7 one-on-one coaching calls with me, 7 calls with my team to organize your finances and make sure you're staying on track, and we will be there with you, supporting you every step of the way. Together, we're going to transform everything about your financial life, the way you talk about money, the way you think about money, the way you handle money, and the way you grow your money. It's immersive. We're also going to open up your bank accounts and set up my proven automation system. And then my team and I are there for you throughout the program and beyond if you choose to make sure the plan is working for you. The first step is to apply. You can find the link at 50kwealthmultiplier.com. That's the number 50, the letter K, and wealthmultiplier.com. Once again, 50kwealthmultiplier.com. You should know that no results are guaranteed. Just like any coaching program, you have to take new actions to produce results. I'll be looking forward to receiving your application for the 50K Wealth Multiplier Experience.
I'd like to think of Profit Boss Radio as a source of timely, accurate, and relevant information for you. And if you've been listening, you know that my pal and former television news anchor, Erica Mandy, host of the Newsworthy podcast, has partnered with me to bring you even more news, but in a format you'll probably find more palatable, heck, even enjoyable than the news we sadly have become used to getting. So today for you, with updates about Cyber Monday and something y'all have been asking me a lot about, Bitcoin, here is this week's installment of the Newsworthy, hot off the presses, recorded just for you.
Hey, Profit Boss Radio listeners, I'm Erica Mandy, and this is your fast, fair, and fun financial version of the Newsworthy. Did you shop online for Cyber Monday? Turns out even when there aren't holiday deals, online sales are going up, big time. Business Insider reports e-commerce went up 15.5% since last year. Compare that to just 3% growth for brick-and-mortar stores. That said, traditional retail is doing better overall, for now. But the shift is happening. A startup called Tether that works with Bitcoin says hackers stole $31 million earlier this month, and Bloomberg reports they won't be getting the Bitcoins back. Hacks like that have made more people question the security of Bitcoin, but it also has not stopped Bitcoin's record growth. So, what is Bitcoin? It's a type of cryptocurrency, which is basically a type of money on a public peer-to-peer network using blockchain technology. So there's no bank or other central agency in the middle of transactions. It's controversial. Some people love it and have made millions off of it. Some big companies have even invested in it. Others, though, don't trust it for a second. It's not well regulated, and it's still pretty volatile. China banned it altogether, and one U.S. bank called it a fraud. But despite this latest hack, it is still growing quickly. It may be harder now to get skilled foreign workers a U.S. visa. The Wall Street Journal reports the Trump administration has made the process stricter to get those H-1B visas. Supporters say tech companies especially rely on these types of visas to get workers with the skills they need. Critics, though, say those visas take away American jobs. And that's it for now. The Newsworthy is all the day's news in less than 10 minutes, and it's always unbiased. So try it out at thenewsworthy.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And I want to do something special for you for giving The Newsworthy a try. If you sign up to get The Newsworthy episode sent straight to your email, you'll be entered for a chance to win a free ticket to Hillary's Profit Boss Live event. Just sign up at thenewsworthy.com, click Get Episodes by email, and tell me you heard about it from Profit Boss Radio. The winner will be announced right here on December 12th.
There you have it. Go subscribe to the Newsworthy podcast today. Enter your name in Erica's mailing list to potentially win a ticket to Profit Boss Live. And I have another request for you. If you sign up for Erica's mailing list and you enter to win a ticket, let us know in the Facebook group. I would like to thank you. And if you've been on the fence about attending Profit Boss Live, I have to tell you, tickets have been selling like hotcakes. I've been shocked. And we might sell out before the early bird price expires at 5 p.m. on December 18th. Why should you come to Profit Boss Live? Well, remember the last time you had a super awesome conversation with your girlfriends about money? Exactly. I know that's never happened. You know that's never happened. And that's why I created Profit Boss Live. Come spend a day masterminding about money mindset, automating your financial freedom, learning how to negotiate and create your own custom wealth plan, and have a glass of wine at the same time. Check it all out at ProfitBossLive.com. Hello. Great topic today. One of the things I get asked most about is healthcare insurance. And my opinion, what's happened to the availability and affordability of healthcare insurance in this country for self-employed people and people who don't have access to some kind of group plan is just absolutely atrocious. That is not a politics conversation. This is just the reality where you're not able to get a private provider plan if you are an individual, and the average price of an Obamacare plan continues to increase if you're a family or individual with a decent amount of income. I mean, I know more people intentionally going without healthcare insurance right now than I'd care to admit. It's really sad. I'm lucky. We get healthcare through my husband's employment at the university. Otherwise, I'd be in the same boat. If this is you, if you've priced a plan on the exchange and been blown away by the cost, you know exactly what I'm talking about today. So we are talking about an alternative to healthcare insurance that I think many of you will find to be just the thing you've been hoping for. But first of all, you need to understand that healthcare insurance isn't even actually healthcare insurance. Insurance is meant to protect you against an accidental loss, like life insurance or auto insurance. Going to the doctor for a checkup shouldn't require an insurance payment, but the cost of services has gotten so high that that's how we're using healthcare insurance. So it's really kind of a messed up system. Enter MediShare. It's spelled MediShare, MediShare. It's an alternative to healthcare insurance. And if you become a MediShare member, you're exempt from the penalty being assessed to people who don't buy healthcare insurance. So it truly is an alternative. It is operated by Christian Care Ministry. It's a Florida-based company called Christian Care Ministry, operates the MediShare healthcare sharing program through which members voluntarily and directly share each other's medical bills. Since the program's inception in 1993, MediShare members have shared more than $1.2 billion in medical bills. And MediShare has more than 320,000 members nationwide. So you might be thinking, what does that mean? Sharing medical bills? I don't get it. Don't worry. It will all be explained in the forthcoming interview in just a minute or so. And yes, you'll hear my guest today mention this as well, but this is a faith-based Christian organization. And if you become a member, you are becoming a part of a Christian organization. I believe in part of the membership application, they asked you to testify to your faith or willingness to participate. And for many of you, that's not an issue. For some of you, it will be. You really do need to do your own research and make the choice that's right for you. But I think logically, the number one question people are going to have here is, does it actually work? I mean, you don't want to incur a $10,000 medical bill and then find out that the cost won't be shared like it's supposed to be, right? So many of you remember Philip Taylor, who's been on my show before. He's the founder of the Financial Bloggers Conference and the author of the PT Money blog. And he and his wife and their two kids have been using MediShare since 2014. They do not have other medical insurance. And he reports having a very positive experience with the service and confirms that it's an overall cost savings relative to Obamacare. I personally reached out to him before I scheduled this episode and I asked him whether I could quote him on the topic, and he said yes. He definitely recommends MediShare for those that it's the right program for. So it works. And I guess I'm pretty excited to offer this to you today if you're someone who is currently choosing to go without healthcare insurance because you can't meet your financial goals and you can't afford a policy. This could provide peace of mind for you. If you're stretching yourself and your family financially to pay for a policy, only see your premiums go up every year and coverage go down, MediShare might provide some relief. So I got excited and I decided to become an affiliate for the program. So if you decide to become a member, a MediShare member, and you use my link at hillaryhendershot.com/MediShare, that's /MediShare with no dash, hillaryhendershot.com/MediShare, I will earn a small affiliate revenue. Again, that's hillaryhendershot.com/MediShare. Consider it. Check out the interview, then come into the private Facebook group if you have questions. My guest today is MediShare's Director of Communications. He's got a master's degree in publication design from the University of Baltimore. His name is Michael Gardner. He holds the accreditation in public relations credential administered by the Public Relations Society of America. Let's find out more about MediShare. Hi, Michael. Welcome to Profit Boss Radio.
Thank you so much, Hillary. It's great to be with you.
So I posed the question in my private Facebook group the other day, what questions do you have about MediShare? And the first three people said, what is it? So I will just actually give you the microphone and the platform and ask you to do your spiel. I'm sure that you get asked so many questions because MediShare really has new opportunity for public acceptance now that the Affordable Care Act has kind of been linked to the cost of traditional healthcare insurance kind of skyrocketing. So you must have a sort of set message that you do. I would love to hear your description of what you actually do.
Sure, absolutely. So MediShare, in essence, is a healthcare sharing program. And what that means is that rather than health insurance, our members directly share one another's medical bills. So it's based on this idea of one member being supported by the rest of this community. So we have more than 320,000 members now across the United States. And each month, people with needs are matched up with people who can help lift those medical burdens for people as well. So it's kind of a one-to-many relationship where one person might have a need for some sort of a hospitalization or an injury or that type of thing, and a group of people then contribute to that need. So MediShare itself, the program, we basically just connect the person in need with the rest of the community who's there to help them.
And how's that different from healthcare insurance?
Well, there are a few differences. First and foremost, it's based on direct member-to-member sharing. So the money's not pooled as it is with other programs. So each member has their own sharing account, and they're making a monthly deposit of their monthly share. And I think it's important to understand kind of MediShare by the numbers, right? There are two things that people need to understand. There are two different concepts. One is the monthly share amount. And so that's the amount that I deposit into my share account each month. And it's important to understand that amount is not used for your own healthcare expenses. It's what you share with the rest of the membership in need. The other side of the equation is what we call an annual household portion. And that's the amount of financial responsibility that I as a member choose to bear before my bills get shared by the rest of the members. So for example, my wife and myself and our two kids, we're MediShare members. We don't have health insurance. And our monthly share amount is right around $400, and we have a $5,000 annual household portion. That means that we've based upon our finances and our own situation, we've determined that we can bear that much of our own medical bills before we would ask the rest of the members to share in our medical bills.
So the share amount is equivalent to a monthly premium, and the household portion is equivalent to a deductible.
Similar, yeah. One of the important things to understand about the monthly share amount and also the annual household portion is that that's per family, right? So it's not like an individual deductible plus a family deductible. So it's for the entire household.
Okay, perfect. And so let's say you have to visit urgent care. You have a fracture in your ankle. Okay, so you have a cost. Let's say it's $10,000. And now, how does that cost get matched up to people who share their share amount with you? And can they decline?
I suppose they could. That doesn't happen. Members share with one another faithfully, and they have ever since 1993. So this isn't a new concept. The program's not new. It's been around since 1993, and our members have shared in that time more than $1.2 billion with a
wow.
B dollars of medical expenses. So we've had members with really significant expenses, cancer diagnoses, organ transplants. I know we've had at least two individual needs in the last few years that exceeded $1 million each. And I believe both of those were for babies who were born and needed neonatal intensive care. So really serious burdens that people are having taken care of by the rest of the membership. But in effect, when you go to the doctor's office, it's not going to be really unfamiliar, I don't think, to people. I show my membership card, I pay a provider fee, I get the care I need, and then my provider sends the bills to MediShare. All we do is to look at that bill and say, okay, is it a shareable expense, first of all? Has that member met their annual household portion? And if they've not met their annual household portion, then the member's responsible for that bill until they do. If they have met their annual household portion, then that bill gets presented to the rest of the members for sharing. And the way that we notify members is largely electronic. So we use technology to help keep the cost of the program low and to add efficiency to it. And so I'll get a notification each month of whose bill I'm sharing in, and I'll be able to actually reach out to that person and communicate with them. So we have a MediShare app that actually can connect me with the other people in the community. So I'll get a notification when I share with someone, and I'll also get a notification when someone shares in one of my medical needs. So it really does provide a sense of community, and I know the person that I'm sharing with. I won't ever be told their health information. We obviously protect people's health information, but I can certainly reach out to them and actually communicate with them.
Wow. Okay. So, and all kinds of costs are covered: doctor visits, prescriptions, urgent care visits, casts, surgeries, hospital stays, all those?
There are certain things that are eligible for sharing, certain things that aren't eligible for sharing, and then there are things that are eligible for sharing with limitations. I think some of the biggest differences between a program like MediShare and what people are used to with health insurance is that through the Affordable Care Act, a lot of health care plans now cover everything. So your wellness care is in there, prescription care is in there. MediShare is a little bit different than that, and we want to make sure people understand that as they're evaluating it as an option. So generally speaking, routine and wellness care aren't shareable expenses. So that means that if I need to go to the doctor for an annual checkup, for blood work, to get my cholesterol checked and those types of things, those types of expenses, routine and wellness care, are generally not going to be shareable. And the idea is the cost of MediShare is very low. So it's just good financial stewardship for me to set aside funds so that I can take care of those things that I can plan for. So the program is really intended for
your members to keep themselves healthy so they don't have
absolutely
high costs. Now, would the routine and wellness cost incurred count towards the household portion?
Generally speaking, they won't. But however, there are some other cost savings mechanisms built into the program. So there is a network of doctors. There's a PPO network that members do have access to. It's a nationwide network. It has more than 700,000 providers in it. So primary care, specialist, labs, diagnostic centers, hospitals certainly as well. So members are definitely going to have a lower cost when they see an in-network provider. But it's important for people to understand that you can see any provider you want to. Your cost might be a bit higher, though, if you choose a provider or a facility that's out of that network. So there are other things like that built into it as well from a cost-saving standpoint.
Okay. Other ineligible expenses besides routine and wellness?
There are certain other things that are lifestyle related. So we're a faith-based organization, and I think that's important for people to understand. And so there are certain lifestyle things that we ask members to abide by that also help to keep the cost down. Certainly, we ask members to be tobacco-free. So no smoking or smokeless tobacco, those types of things. And we also ask people not to abuse alcohol or prescription drugs, and obviously not to use illegal drugs. So certainly expenses related to those types of things wouldn't be eligible for sharing.
What about birth control?
Birth control is not a shareable expense at this point.
Do you happen to know the over-the-counter cost of birth control?
I don't. I'm sorry.
I'll figure that out and I'll put it in the intro. Okay. So you have some unshareable expenses, and because the organization is faith-based, there are other sort of life practices that you ask people not to participate in. So let's talk about being faith-based.
Sure.
You're a for-profit organization or you're a nonprofit?
No, we're a nonprofit organization.
Nonprofit. And so how do you, I think you ask people to sign a document stating that they are a person of faith, right? That they're essentially a Christian.
Well, yes, it is. It's a Christian-based organization. And so we do have a statement of faith that we ask members to review ahead of time and review as well. We don't ask for proof that they go to a church or talk to a pastor or anything like that. But there is a statement of faith that we do ask members to review and to agree to. And part of the reason is that we need people to understand that, you know, this is a group with shared values. And that has a lot to do with the types of things that are shareable and aren't shareable.
Mm-hmm. And so you've got a motivation to sign this document. I'm just going to kind of address the elephant in the room, okay? Because I told you in the pre-chat, the folks who listen to this show don't necessarily align to any religion, but there's a motivation here to use your service because you're enabling people who can't otherwise get healthcare to get healthcare. So how does your organization think about or deal with that there are probably people who aren't actually Christians using the service?
I mean, we don't police it. You know, frankly, we don't police that. But part of the idea, I think, is that, you know, people are going to be exposed to, you know, the newsletters that we send out, the messaging that we use. We also offer prayer to people when they call. And I think that's something that's going to be different than what people are used to with other types of service organizations. So, you know, our member services folks offer to pray with people on the phone. And so I think that's a good thing. And if someone joined and wasn't a person of faith, they would still have the benefit of that as well. And making that connection with people, from our perspective, is a good thing.
Yeah, I can understand that. Okay, let's talk a little bit about financials. Are MediShare, are any of the costs deductible from taxes?
No, they're not. And I think it's important to understand, too, that MediShare and healthcare sharing programs aren't compatible with health savings account at this point. There's been some legislation bouncing around, I think, for a while now that includes that, but that's not yet taken effect and it hasn't been passed as a law. So we're not compatible with HSAs at this point.
HSAs. Okay. And is there a cap to what might be shared with me in any particular year? I mean, I know you said these babies had costs of maybe $1 million, but is there a hard cap anywhere?
Simply put, there's not. And that's really a great question. And, you know, I would encourage people to look around at all of their options. MediShare is one option. There are other sharing programs out there, and they're all great. Each one works a little bit differently. And that's one of the questions that I would encourage people to ask as they're looking at alternatives to health insurance, right? That's one of the questions. Is there a cap? There is no cap, either annual, lifetime, or a per incident cap with MediShare. I think some of the other sharing programs do have caps as well, you know, per incident based caps and those types of things as well. But we don't have a cap at this point.
Okay.
And I think another thing that it's important to ask is how much work you as a member have to do on your own behalf. So we don't ask members to negotiate rates with physicians. You know, we have a network there that includes pre-negotiated rates with those physicians. And so a lot of that work has already been done on behalf of members. Some of the other programs, I think, though, do ask you to do that negotiation on your own. And some people might be willing to do that and have the time to do that. I have friends who are members of other sharing programs, and they like the way that they work. But I think it's important for people to understand how much work you'll have to do on the front end as well, certainly to understand that and be an informed consumer.
Wow. So do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what about pre-existing conditions?
Pre-existing conditions are shareable, but with limitations. So it's important for people to understand that if you have a pre-existing condition, you can certainly still join MediShare. We don't turn people away ever for health-related reasons. However, pre-existing conditions are going to have limitations. So there's basically a condition needs to go 3 years, or a person needs to be a member for 3 years for a pre-existing condition before it becomes shareable. And then there's a limitation on the amount that's shareable of $300,000. After 5 years, up to $500,000 for that condition is shareable, but there'll always be a limitation on that. And that is something that people need to understand. So if you have a health condition that has a really high recurring prescription drug cost, for example, probably isn't the best option or the best solution for someone, because prescriptions are shareable, but for up to 6 months. So if I get a sinus infection and I need antibiotics, those types of things would be shareable. But if I have a chronic illness that's going to have a really high monthly recurring cost for treatment, that could very well be cost prohibitive for people.
Right. Well, yeah, if you're truly sharing costs, you can't bring in folks who already have astronomical healthcare costs. Then that would upset the whole system.
Sure. There are certainly things like that built into the program to try to control cost. I mean, we already talked about some of the healthy decisions, you know, not smoking, you know, not abusing alcohol, those types of things certainly help keep
wearing your seatbelt.
Right. Those types of things as well. Definitely help keep the cost controllable. But we also do have a health and wellness team that works with people. So we have health coaches on staff who can work with people to help them get from wherever they are. Maybe somebody wants to improve their health. I know when I joined the program, I actually paid a little bit more each month for a program that we have. It's a health partnership program. I needed to get my cholesterol under control and my blood pressure and lose a little bit of weight. And so I worked with a health coach, graduated from that program, and I no longer pay additionally for that. But we do have those types of things available for members as well.
I think that was something. And by the time, if you're listening to this, you probably will have already heard my introduction where I read some of the things Philip Taylor of the PT Money blog had written about MediShare. But I'm pretty sure he said when he joined the program, he was overweight and he was motivated to lose the weight because he had to pay a little premium.
Right. And there's that short term, you know, there's a short term cost associated with that, too. But if I think about it, you know, my cost of healthcare and retirement is probably going to be a lot higher if I don't take care of myself now. So, you know, in my mind, that's even more motivation for me to get well now. And so, you know, we have folks here and resources that are available to help people do that as well.
That's really great. I do think that's the core message I really want to give to people is with the expensive healthcare now, it really is on us to keep ourselves as healthy as possible, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Like the old days where you could eat steak and buttery potatoes and then, you know, have someone take care of you through your heart disease and diabetes are gone. Last question about pre-existing conditions. Do you do a medical exam before members come in?
We don't do an exam, but we do have a medical questionnaire that we ask people to fill out. And so the idea there is that we want people to be informed before they make a decision. So we'll ask about things that they've been diagnosed with, treated for, had, you know, signs or symptoms of, and they'll definitely get a report prior to joining that says, okay, these things would be considered pre-existing conditions and therefore would have limitations on the sharing. So we want to make sure that people are well-informed consumers and make sure this is really the best choice for them and their family.
And on cost. So you mentioned there's a network of providers that offer a discount to members of MediShare. And I imagine if some of my listeners were in, they can maybe get on your website and just make sure there are discount providers in their area. Is that possible?
Absolutely. If you go to our website, there's a link at the bottom for finding a provider. And so you can certainly see if there are providers in your area.
Okay. And do you have an estimate of what those just by percentage, what the discount might be?
I don't off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
No problem. Okay. So who are the governing powers that be over at MediShare?
Really, it's the members. You know, our member guidelines are member voted. And I think that's also an important thing to understand. So changes to the guidelines about sharing require the approval of members through a member vote. And I think that's really it's important for people to understand that, because I think if you're not comfortable or familiar with this idea of a healthcare sharing program, I think people get this misconception that there's, you know, a guy sitting in a room somewhere looking at all the bills coming in and just deciding on a whim whether or not they're going to be shareable. And that's not at all the case. There are published member guidelines. They too are available on our website for people to take a look at. And they go into detail about all the questions you just asked regarding what's shareable, what's not shareable, what kinds of things might have limitations. So those guidelines have been developed and modified over time by our members. So the members are really the governing power behind this. If people ever do have disputes about the sharing of a medical bill, we do have a member review panel that's available to review those things as well. It's used very infrequently, I would point out, but certainly, you know, that's available for members as well if they ever had some sort of a question about what was shared and what wasn't shared.
Okay. And so that would be the equivalent of like a claims investigator, but you're saying it's very rarely used because your guidelines are very well documented.
They are very well documented.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. How do children work on MediShare? Can they stay with parents until they're age 26, or when is the cap for that?
It's 23. And let's talk a little bit about well childcare as well, because I think that's probably going to be of interest for your listeners. You know, we talked a little bit about that preventive and routine care not generally being eligible for sharing. However, a lot of our families do have young children, and so that's really something that's of value to members. So we do share in, members do share in well childcare up to the age of 6. That includes diagnoses. It doesn't include vaccinations. I should point that out as well, that vaccinations are generally not going to be a shareable expense, but well childcare is available up to the age of 6.
Okay. And conversely to well child, is there an age limit to being in the program, and are any, I wouldn't expect so, but I'm just asking, assisted living or long-term care costs covered, shared?
There aren't long-term costs shared. Someone could stay on MediShare as they age. What you'll see, though, and we'll talk a little bit about what goes into making up the monthly cost, it's obviously going to the monthly cost of MediShare would increase as you age. But we do have a version of MediShare called Senior Assist that's available for people who have Medicare A and B as well. And so basically the way that it works is those things, those costs that are not covered by MediShare are what become eligible for sharing.
Okay.
So the rest of the program works the same way, but it's basically there to kind of come alongside Medicare. And so the things that aren't covered by Medicare could be eligible for sharing as well. So certainly it works for someone of any age. And it also works for people at different stages of life. You know, we talked a little bit about that annual household portion number and what that is. And so there are 7 different versions of that that are available, right? So someone who's young and getting started may not have savings could choose a low amount. So, you know, as low as $1,250. And so that would be your financial responsibility for your medical bills for the year before your bills get shared. Somebody who's more well established and has funds set aside, you know, should some sort of a health need arise, may opt into an AHP as high as $10,000. And so that means that they would be responsible for up to $10,000 of their care, but it would obviously also result in a lower monthly share amount. So there are 7 different levels that people can choose from. So it really is flexible and can be tailored to your own particular situation in terms of family size, you know, what resources you have, financial resources you have available as well.
Okay. So is the version of MediShare for people who are on Medicare, is mm-hmm. that a different pool of people or?
No, same pool of people. And you can actually have, we have a lot of situations actually where there may be a husband and wife, for example, one is on Medicare, one hasn't reached Medicare eligible age yet. And so one is a member of MediShare, the other one is a member of Senior Assist. And so we do certainly have those types of situations as well. So it really is flexible in that sense.
But for example, a young man, you might share your share amount with someone who is age 70?
You very well might.
Okay.
You very well might. And yeah, so it's actually interesting. You know, I'm kind of looking at my app as we talk right here. So I have a share post that from someone that I shared with. And the great thing is that you can go back to these and see the people you share with. But I have share post available for my monthly share amount being combined with tens of thousands of dollars from other members as well for a monthly share. You know, the most recent one I got was I shared $330 and the rest of the membership shared another $72,000 with a gentleman for his medical needs. So, you know, you have lots of people coming together to share in a pretty sizable medical need.
Okay. So this sharing sounds almost meaningful, like a community, like you get to know these people and it sounds like you'll even know he's got going on medically. What if someone wants to be more private than that? Is MediShare subject to HIPAA laws?
We're not, though we don't release HIPAA information. So I, you know, if I share with someone, I'll know the dollar amount that was shared by all the members. I won't know the condition, but
oh.
I could certainly reach out. Yeah, we never give away HIPAA protected information or health condition information. So I won't know if it's, you know, someone dealing with a cancer diagnosis or an injury or a car accident or those types of things. But I can reach out to that person and connect. And because we're a community of faith, what a lot of people do is reach out and say, how you doing? Is there anything I can be praying for you about? Or, you know, our family, you know, we don't know exactly what your need is, but our family would like to pray for yours. Feel free to tell me a little bit more about what that is if you'd like to. And so people certainly have the option to do it, but not a requirement, obviously.
Okay, so then explain something, because how and who makes sure that the cost is actually shareable? If it's masked from you, you don't know what you're sharing into. How do you know it fits the guidelines and is shareable?
That's really where MediShare comes into play. That's really what the MediShare organization does, is to look at those bills when they are presented to us from providers and say, okay, this either was or wasn't a shareable expense based upon the guidelines, based upon those member voted guidelines. Mm-hmm. And what we also do is to look at those additionally for savings. So we may very well be able to negotiate members' bills down even further to help control the cost as well. So that's, you know, we obviously have a team of folks here at MediShare who do that day in and day out, to look at those bills as they come in, evaluate them against the guidelines and say, okay, this is a shareable expense. And that's obviously based upon medical diagnosis and medical bill documentation.
And logistically speaking, and I know you said this before, I just want to talk through it and make sure I have it right. I go to my doctor and I pay, I essentially am self, I present as a self-pay patient. I'm paying for myself.
That's one of the differences between MediShare and some of the other programs. You basically walk in and show a MediShare membership card. And so show your membership card, there's a provider fee, and the provider then sends the bills to MediShare, and we process those bills for discounting and sharing and the types of things we talked about before. So, you wouldn't be in a self-pay patient. Some of the sharing programs do work that way, where they'll say, you know, if you go to the doctor, tell them that you're a self-pay patient, and then whatever that amount is, you know, you pay up front and then seek reimbursement. We've automated that a little bit more. And that's one of the things that I think members really value, is the fact that they don't have to do a lot of that legwork on their own up front. I show my membership card. I've already chosen an in-network provider, so I know that the rate has been pre-negotiated with that provider. I pay my provider fee, the bill gets sent to MediShare, and then we walk it through the process.
I see. And so in many ways, that doctor visit you just described, it feels exactly the same to you as a MediShare member as it used to as maybe an Anthem Blue Cross member.
It's a pretty familiar feeling process for people, I think. You know, and we've really tried to automate that. We try to leverage technology to make it as convenient as possible. And I think that's really, you know, there are a couple hallmarks of MediShare, and I think convenience is definitely one of them. It's relatively easy to understand once you kind of grasp the fact that sharing is different. And convenience is definitely one. Health and wellness is definitely another one. Faith, obviously, is a common denominator for our membership, but so is financial and health stewardship. And that's something that we see more and more from people all the time. About half of our membership is self-employed. And so, you know, for folks in those situations who are running small businesses, making sure that they can stretch, you know, those funds is definitely important. So financial stewardship is really a big one for our members.
Right. Perfect. Wow. You talk fast, Michael.
I'm sorry. I'll slow down a little bit.
Well, I'm at the end of my questions. Is there anything I didn't ask? Oh, we didn't talk about the big daddy. The difference between an Obamacare plan, in your opinion, difference between, now obviously the Affordable Care Act offers a range of premium prices, but the difference in cost between what is now a government healthcare plan and a MediShare plan.
Sure. What members often tell us is that, you know, MediShare is about half the cost of insurance. So our average family pays right around $350 a month. That's that monthly share amount. Obviously, it's based upon your family size, the age of the oldest person in your household, and that annual household portion that you choose. So, for example, I'm a little bit older than our average member, so my monthly share amount's more close to $400 a month. But the average family pays about $350 a month. And, you know, so that's one of the major differences. I think one of the things to point out, though, too, is that MediShare members aren't subject to financial penalties. So if you're a member of a healthcare sharing ministry that meets certain requirements, and MediShare is one of them, while you don't have insurance through the MediShare program, you are exempt from financial penalties. So it kind of meets that individual mandate.
Okay. And did you say the cost savings?
Well, it depends. You know, it really depends upon the family. I know I've looked into plans for myself, and they'd be twice what my MediShare monthly amount is.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about financial stewardship being kind of a common denominator and a big interest, certainly for our members. One of the things that we've done relatively recently is to add a telemedicine program that all of our members have access to at no additional cost. So I don't pay extra for it. And basically what it allows members to do is to see a doctor, either talk to a doctor on a phone or actually see a doctor through kind of like a FaceTime interface, and actually get treated, diagnosed, and those physicians can prescribe medications as well. So they're all board certified physicians. Like I said, there's no additional monthly cost. There's no per usage cost for that. And it really is a great way to help drive the cost down. Because if you think about it, that annual household portion, right? So I said my family opted into a $5,000 annual household portion. That means that we're going to pay up to $5,000 of our own bills before our bills get shared by the members. But for us, you know, we have two young kids. Most of our expenses are sinus infections, strep throat, pink eye, you know, normal kid kind of stuff. But that means that all of those expenses, for the most part, are going to be out of pocket. And the great thing about the telemedicine program that we found is that it's convenient. I don't have to leave home, and I have no additional cost for it. I think I've used it four times for my kids in the last 2 months.
Goodness.
And it's, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we have, they're, you know, they're elementary school age. And so, you know, the choice for me on a Sunday night was, well, do I take, you know, my daughter was complaining about like a sore ear and, you know, it seemed like it was probably an ear infection. And so, you know, as a parent, you have some choices. It's like, well, do I go to urgent care tonight if it's open or the ER, or do I wait and go to the pediatrician in the morning, or do I try this telehealth thing? And so we tried the telehealth thing and it worked great. So from clicking a button to make an appointment to see a physician to getting a text message from my local pharmacy that her antibiotics were ready was, you know, a 30-minute proposition. I didn't have to leave the house. You know, the doctor could see her if he needed to, and there's no additional cost. So it's really a great way for people to save money. And it also helps, you know, ensure that people get the right care at the right place at the right time, because, you know, by doing it that way, members don't have to unnecessarily share things. You know, the ER is probably not the right place, you know, to go for an ear infection. And so it's really just another option for people to get the right care that they need, you know, in the most cost effective setting. And so I think that's an important component of the program as well.
That's great. Okay. Anything else we didn't talk about?
I don't think so. I think that really covers it.
Awesome. Thanks for being here with us.
Absolutely.
I hope that you found this useful. If you have friends or family members who are currently going without health care insurance because of the cost and affordability of those plans, consider forwarding this episode to them. And again, check it out at HillaryHendershot.com/MediShare. If you go to the show notes for today's episode at HillaryHendershot.com/86, we have got the MediShare monthly share calculator, so you can figure out what your monthly share would be based on different contribution levels and sharing amounts. And you can also check out the provider list to see if your doctors are covered. One more time, that's HillaryHendershot.com/MediShare. Thank you for listening to this episode of Profit Boss Radio. If you liked it, share it with an artist or creative that you love. And whether you're a painter or a mathematician, may you have all the freedom and prosperity you want.